Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. If you have your Bible there, turn it to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to start out a series of messages talking about spiritual warfare. And I want you to know, brothers and sisters, get it down into your spirit that you are in a battle. If you are a believer, if you are a born-again believer and have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to be very aware of the fact that you're in a battle, that the devil is going to try to do everything he can to steal from you all the gains that you have made in God's kingdom, all the gains that you have made in coming out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And if you're not a believer today, well, you need to accept Jesus. You need to come to Jesus. You need to confess and repent of your sins, and you can become a born-again believer, and you can operate in the army of the living God. You can operate in the army of the God who created you, and that is his purpose for you. But you are going to be in a battle either way, whether you're in the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of light. You're going to be in a battle, and the devil wants to destroy you. Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I, Jesus, have come to give you life and to give you life abundantly. And so it's the devil's wish and it's his desire to take you down, to destroy you through sickness, through poverty, through addictions, through serving the kingdom of darkness, not seeing the light of Jesus Christ, not seeing the hope for all eternity. And as the devil does that, as he comes against us, then we feel the onslaught of his desire, we feel the onslaught of his purpose for our life. But conversely, we also feel the blessing that comes with serving the Lord. We feel the uplifting, the encouragement, the hope that lies within us when we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and when we accept Jesus as our Lord and fulfill the calling and the destiny that he has on our life. And so I encourage each and every one of you to get on the right side of the battle today. I encourage each and every one of you to accept Jesus if you've never done that, and if you have, if you're born again, to take on a new stance, to take on a new position in the battle and commit yourself to moving forward in the kingdom, commit yourself to a higher calling, commit yourself to fulfilling everything in your life that God wants you to fulfill. And as you do that, you will be more complete, you'll be more whole, you'll be more healed, you'll be more fulfilled. And that is God's wish for you, is that you be made whole in Jesus Christ. Well, Paul talks about in Ephesians 2:1, as he speaks to the Ephesians who were baby Christians, and he's giving them a picture of what they once were. He says, you were made alive, he made you alive, you who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. And so Paul is talking about there the hierarchy or the unseen world of the devil, that unseen world that is out there and it's just as real as the chair you're sitting on, or it's just as real as the concrete that you're walking on. But God wants to take you out of that unseen world. He wants to take you out of that world of darkness that you many people walk in unknowingly. Many people walk in it not knowing that they're walking into the devil's trap, that they're walking into a place of destruction and despair. And God wants to take you out of that, just as Jesus said, or as Paul said to those Ephesians, that Jesus made you alive, you who were once dead in trespass, and you who once walked according to the course of this world. Well, the course of this world is a world of trickery, it's a world of deceit, it's a world of corruption, it's a world of death and no hope. If you keep your eyes on the circumstances of this world, if you keep your eyes on just the news events of this world, the politics and the corruption of this world, and your only mission here is just try to get ahead and get another dime in your bank account and sit on it, you're not going to ever see the light of Jesus Christ. God wants to bring you out of that world of corruption and despair and death and killing, and he wants to put you in the kingdom of light. He says, Paul says to the Ephesians, that spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. And so Paul says, we are children of wrath, we were consumed with desires of the flesh, consumed with lusts of our flesh, and conducted ourselves in lustful fleshly manners. And so Paul is saying that the Spirit of the living God will take you out of that. The Spirit of God will free you from the lusts of the flesh. And so God wants to take you to a higher place. If you don't know Jesus again as your Lord and Savior, that's the first step to take you to a higher place. You have to bring yourself to humble yourself and get down on your knees and humble yourself before Jesus. Humble yourself before God and just admit to Him that you can't steer your life, that you're no longer the captain of your ship. Turn it over to Jesus Christ, and then God will bring you out of that place of darkness that you've been battling, whether it's addictions or addiction to pornography or drugs or alcohol or just no hope in your life. God wants to take you out of that place of hopelessness and put you into that place where He can raise you up for all eternity. Well, in Ephesians 6, verse 10, Paul caps his instructions to the Ephesians with this great picture of spiritual warfare, with this great picture of the gospel armor that we can all attain to, that we can all put on, that we can all have at our dispense, at our hand. We can have that gospel armor, we can put it on, we can protect ourselves in the battle. And this is what God's desire is for you, that you intimately come to know Jesus Christ, that you intimately come to know His Word, and so that the gospel armor is on you all the time. And when you get up each day and you go into the battle and you encounter the enemy, whatever he wants to do to destroy you, whatever he wants to do to destroy your family, that you are able to stand against him, that you are able to not only hold your ground, but you can take ground against the enemy, and you can become a force of righteousness, that you can become a force of victory, that you can become a leader in the army of God, and you can take ground here on this earth for the kingdom of God and not just be in retreat to the devil and his minions. Well, in Ephesians 6, verse 10, this classic scripture starts on spiritual warfare. Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." And so Paul says in verse 13, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And verse 14, he says, "Stand therefore." And so four different times Paul says to stand firm. Four different times Paul says, hold your ground. In verse 11, he says, stand against the wiles of the devil, or the schemings of the devil. Verse 13, he says, so that you can withstand in the evil day. And above all, having done all, stand, hold your ground. And then again in verse 14, he starts that verse and says, stand therefore. And so Paul is making a bold statement here. He's encouraging the people of Ephesus, who were all baby Christians. They had a very limited understanding, I'm sure, of spiritual warfare. They had a very limited understanding of what the devil was trying to do to tear them away from the kingdom, from their newfound faith, from their newfound peace and hope in Jesus Christ. And Paul is just saying, stand where you're at. Don't give any more ground to the enemy. Don't give any more ground and let the enemy run roughshod over you and tear you away from the kingdom of God. And that is God's will for you, brother and sister out there listening today. God is saying to you today, stand firm. Stand firm. Don't give any more ground. If you're trapped in addiction, if you're trapped in hopelessness, if you're trapped in despair and thoughts of suicide, God is just saying, turn to me, come back to me, and I will be there for you. I will not forsake you and abandon you. And God says, go to that which you know will encourage you and strengthen you. Just as Paul is saying, you will be able to stand up against the schemings of the devil. And when you understand that the devil is out to kill you, he's out to destroy you, he's out to destroy your family, he will trick you, he will deceive you. It tells us in 2 Corinthians 11:14, when Paul was talking to the Corinthians about false apostles and deceitful workers, he says, and no wonder these deceitful workers and false apostles are coming in to trick you and to give you false doctrine. He says, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. And so we know that the devil can transform himself into an angel of light. He can come and appear as something really good, and we know all sin is pleasurable, you might say. It's hard to use that word in relation to sin, but that's the truth of it, that all sin is somewhat pleasurable for a season, that the devil paints it up, that he makes it look good, he puts candy coating on it, he makes it look good, just like the happy hour down at the bar, he makes it look good so that people get enticed, that people get sucked in and interested in it, then he drops the trap door on them and lets them go down into the pit of darkness. And so the devil has ways to paint a picture for people that makes everything look rosy and everything look glittering and makes everything look enticing. But believe me, that the devil is very cunning. He is deceitful. He will take advantage of anybody. He will take advantage of even little children and exploit them, their trauma, their hardship, their broken little hearts. And so the devil is very cunning, and he is deceitful, and he is able then to scheme against us and let us lead us into his traps and into the pitfalls that he has set up against us. Well, Paul says in verse 12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And so what Paul is describing here is the hierarchy of the devil, the devil's government, you might say. The devil, Satan himself, is the ruler of the darkness. He is the ruler. He is the king of darkness, of the underworld. And so he has for himself in his army all of these categories of workers, of minions that serve under him. And Paul lists them here: against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And so the devil doesn't himself, Satan doesn't necessarily show up to attack you or to attack your family. He sends his fallen angels, his minions, out to attack you. And there are principalities stationed over cities. There are principalities stationed over prisons and over other government entities, places where the devil wants to come in and wreak havoc over entities. One time years ago, just to give you a little example, several years ago we did a prayer walk around Norton in cars. We did it, a couple of brothers and myself did it, 7 mornings in a row. We did a prayer vigil around the city of Norton very early in the morning. We did that for 7 mornings in a row, just praying for the Holy Spirit to come in and fill the people of the city, fill the churches with good people seeking and hungry for the Lord. And the Lord showed one of the brothers in a vision that week that there was a giant python spirit or a giant snake coming up out of the Prairie Dog Valley. And so the Lord was showing that this python spirit, or this spirit of witchcraft, the Bible calls it, the spirit of divination and witchcraft or rebellion, that this spirit was here over this city as a principality, that it was ruling over this city and causing people to make foolish and unwise decisions. And so we need to do battle against that principality. When I come on the radio, I'm doing battle against that principality. That's why every week I pray for this city. I pray that it be a city of refuge. I pray the Lord's blessing over this city. I pray that people would come to know the Lord and people would find strong churches, strong economy. And I do that to take on and do battle with the principality over this city and over this nation and over this region. And so Paul outlines these four categories of the hierarchy against principalities, against powers, rulers of darkness of this age, and then the last is the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. The spiritual battle takes place in the heavenlies, much of it. It takes place in the second heaven, that part of the heaven below the throne of God, below the kingdom of God in the throne room, and it takes place above this earth, that spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. It takes place in the atmosphere or in the heavenlies above this earth. And so there's a battle going on this earth which affects you directly, and that's the powers and the rulers of darkness of this age. And we see that in government. Many times government rulers are full of wickedness. You think of North Korea, you think of Iran, you think of some of these nations where there's just total wickedness, corruption, debauchery. And then also you think of the United States. Where do we fall in that category of rulers of darkness over the kings of this age? And so we see that righteousness does exalt a nation. The Bible tells us that righteousness exalts a nation. And so God cares about the kings. He cares about the people. He cares about what kind of government and what kind of government policies we carry out, and whether these policies such as abortion and homosexual marriage and our stance toward Israel, God cares about whether we implement these policies that bring glory and honor to Him on this earth, or if our policies destroy the kingdom of God, and if our policies enhance the devil's opportunities here on this earth. And so God is intimately concerned with the details of our government, with the details of other, of the people's lives who run the government. And so it is God's will that His kingdom come on this earth here in the United States and every nation on this earth. Well, Paul goes on to talk about the gospel armor. In verse 13, he says, "Take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Well, this is the evil day, brothers and sisters. It's going to get more evil. This isn't the pinnacle yet, or the apex of the evil that is coming to this earth. We're just in the time of sorrows, or the time of birth pangs, the beginning of sorrows, as the Bible calls it in Matthew 24:8. And yet we know that the light is going to get brighter. We know that Jesus came to bring light into the world. He came to bring hope into the world, that when great iniquity comes onto the world, that when great iniquity settles on this earth and people see the darkness, we know that that light that shines in the darkness is going to look brighter and brighter and brighter. And so as I appeal to you today to come to the Lord Jesus, I'm appealing to you to lay down your pride, to lay down your own self-direction, your own self-will, and just say, "Jesus, I want to come to you. I want to know you. I want to be on your ship, Jesus. I want you to be captain of my ship, and I want to be on your ship. I want to be in your army, and I want to have your protection against the wiles and the schemings of the evil one in my life." And so it all starts with Jesus Christ. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He shed His blood for you. He shed His blood so that you could know Him for all eternity, that your sins would be forgiven, and that you could know Him for all eternity, and that you could walk with Him on the remaining days here on this earth. You could walk with Him. You could know heaven. You could know the eternity of heaven here on this earth. And then you will be seated with Him in the heavenly places, not only now, but also you'll be seated with Him in the heavenly places for all eternity as you make your home with Him after you pass from this earth. Well, Jesus is the answer. Come to Him today. Bow your knee to Him, repent and confess, and follow it up with Christian baptism. If you made a decision today, or if you'd like to make a decision, let me know, pureprairie@hotmail.com, and I would be more than happy to pray with you and to get you some materials to start you on your Christian walk. Well, next week we're going to look more at the individual pieces of the gospel armor, how we can strap them on, how we can get ready for battle, and know that we are fully protected as we go into the battle against the evil one. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. Have a great week. Tune in again next week.